Well, I think God's been helping us, talking to us this morning, and I don't think he's finished yet. Two comments about this morning. One is that Andy was doing what he had to do and going really very fast through the stuff that he was sharing. You do need to understand that that middle section for us is just as important as every other part of the meeting. We have the sung worship, we have the time of fellowship, the coffee before, in the middle and afterwards. All those things are equally important, with the word and with the reporting and drawing people into what God has got for us. So as far as we're concerned, making sure we know and are geared up for a kingdom come is as important as sharing the word. Okay? Now, all we ask you to do with kingdom come is to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Should I be there on Wednesday? If he says not, cool, no problem. If he says yes, then of course some of you don't ask, because you know what will happen. That's the deal, isn't it? So that's that thing. The other thing is this, that I thought that was a wonderful animation this morning of burdens, and I was thinking about burdens and just where my issues were. And today, for instance, I know that Wendy and I have sort of blocked up from now till about midnight. You know, we know exactly what's coming. But for me, that isn't where my burdens are, right? My burden is the fact that I have things on my to-do list which I know are not going to be done till Wednesday, and I'm carrying them now. And there is something that the monks knew about living in the moment, you know? The Bible puts it in a very negative way. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. You know, don't make the most of the troubles before it comes. And I know I've got to book this, I've got to book that, I've got to arrange that, I've got to write apologetic emails to half a dozen people because I should have written to them last week and I've got behind and haven't had a chance to do it. And here am I, thinking about that stuff. Now, considering some of the things you guys have got on your shoulders, that is absolutely ridiculous, minor, and of course I feel twice as bad, and I've got an extra burden, the burden of guilt, thinking I'm worrying about things that really, you know, don't amount to a hill of beans. But there is a difference, you know. We sometimes use Galatians 6 when we're talking about this, don't we? We talk about the fact that we bear one another's burdens, that we're set free from burdens, and that we have our responsibilities. And you know, whatever your burdens are in life, they're only half the weight if you take the emotional pressure off. Now, I know that's easier said than done, but I'm really pleased this morning that we're going to be talking about the dynamic for that. I'm particularly pleased because I've sort of set myself up this week to shift the talk, to have somebody else do it today. And it just didn't come together at the right point, and I felt really strongly that I should be speaking this morning. Sat down to prepare what I'll now deal with on the 30th, and there was no life in it, right? Just was not happening. I'd got all the words there. I could even get them in the right order. But there wasn't the life. And so I was stuck. And I said to Wendy that on Friday night I was going to sit and read through my notes just before I went to sleep. And she said, no, please don't do that, because you'll be talking about them all night. So I forbore from doing that. And there wasn't the space yesterday to do it either. And so until I was shaving this morning, I did not know what I'm going to speak on. So it might be a bit of a dog's breakfast in terms of the order, but I'm pretty convinced that this is what I should be doing. Now, I'm going to show you the DVD that some of you have seen in groups, some of you have seen previous to that. I'm not really apologising for it, because I think this is so important, you know, that we have said that what we want to do is to move to a position where people are evaluating Dayspring and its leadership on the basis of whether we are helping you to become, to follow Jesus more closely in more areas of your life. Now, I find that exciting. I'm one of those crazy people who always enjoyed it, whatever the result was, when it came round to appraisal time for me each year. I want to know how I'm doing. I want to know where I'm going. I want to know whether I am being faithful in what God has called me to do. So, here we go. We're going to have another try this morning to help one another follow Jesus more closely in more areas of our lives. Now, I'm not going to show, but before we do, this is for me, not for you. Let's just have a few seconds of quietness, find a good place with the Lord, be conscious of his presence before we move on. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are really present with us now. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're moving like a breath of wind over one and another of us, that you're sitting here, that you're moving there, that you're carrying on from what you've been doing earlier this morning into our lives. You're touching people. Holy Spirit wind, we give you permission to blow over us and touch our hearts right now. Touch our ears so that we can understand what on earth you're doing. Amen. Okay, now here is, yeah, oops, yeah, I got red light on. Is that good enough?
Yeah.
Okay. Glad you reminded me, because it's not at all unusual that I will have ignored it. Okay, this is the video that we've had for a couple of weeks, and I've got a question for you, so watch it closely.
Was fairly ordinary. Just an ordinary single middle-aged mum with an ordinary towering job. She navigates through the ordinary dramas of life, but at the end of the day, she just gets on with it. Nothing to shout about, nothing to write home about. At least that's what she feels. But in truth, Anne doesn't get too much time to think about all this because Anne's busy. She has lots of people making demands on her. She has children that need to be taken to school, to friends, to shops. Anne often feels like a taxi driver. But she's not a taxi driver, she's a teaching assistant in a challenging school. She supports the teacher, puts up displays, works with small groups of children, at times acting like a cross between a sheepdog and a NATO peacekeeping force. She enjoys the job, most days, but gets home really tired, just in time for a taxi driver's hour again. So to keep fit, she goes for aerobics classes twice a week. To keep sane, she makes sure she makes time for friends who can share the good times and the bad times with her. And at the end of the day, she winds down in front of the telly, whilst talking to her parents on the phone, feeling slightly guilty that she's not seen them for a while. That's Anne. One other thing about Anne. A few years ago, she became a Christian. And since then, she's lived with a question that won't go away. How can I be used by God? She's looked around church, but it's not so easy to know what she can offer. She can't play musical instruments, doesn't want to get involved in children's work, hasn't enough experience to be in a small group, and would only be asked to sing if she were the last person left on earth. However, she's part of the pressure of them because she has a nice smile, she's part of the welcome team. but to her it all feels too little. She's fallen into the trap that loads of us fall into, of thinking that God only wants to use us in activities that are linked to church programs. But the reality is that Anne has front lines all around her. Places where she spends much of her time, where God has already placed her, and where he's using her to make a difference. At work, at home, in cafes, in aerobic classes. She's surrounded by people that God loves, and she could pray for, drop the in the odd word, continue to love in practical ways, and really make a difference. This is her mission field. These are the strategic places where God has placed her. This is her front line. So here's the question. What would she feel about her life if she realized that in fact this ordinary life is no ordinary life at all? She'd still be the taxi driver for the kids on the back seat, but she'd see that her callings are perhaps far beyond caring. She'd realise that she's the best teacher these kids will ever have about how to live the unnatural life as a Christian. Unnatural forgiveness, unnatural grace, unnatural mercy all need to be seen to be believed. But when seen, they'll never forget the power of this memory, used by God. At work, she might not feel hugely important. After all, she's not running a school. The truth is, she's far more significant than that. She's an agent of the kingdom whose king rules the universe. As she works diligently, she's already demonstrated the difference that being a Christian can make to life. And when some of the big questions of life come up, as they do from time to time, she's got real wisdom to share, used by God. When she's with a friend, she talks about her life and faith with humour, honesty, and a welcome sense of normality. And she's praying that her friends would join her in her faith in Jesus, used by God. And whilst their aerobic classes are no place to be seen in shine, Jesus shine, whilst desperately fighting for breath, it continues to do her good. She feels just a little bit more alive at the end of each session and goes home with just a touch more resilience as she mediates between children wanting to watch different channels on the same TV. Used by God. Anne wonders how God could use her. Anne, look around you. This is your front line, the front line that God wants to use you on, the one he's placed you in, the one that he's using to form you into the shape of Jesus. It's the front line that's unique to you, because there's no one exactly like Anne, is there? Except Reg, who retired years ago, and Beth, who's at college having a great time, and Kwame in the bank, and Nicola, who's looking for a job, and Graham and Elaine, who's just had a baby, and Sharon, and Zoe, and Matt, and Danielle, and Susan, and Tony, and Paul, and you.
Okay.
Do you ever get a chance to come to London?
Okay, let's ask a question. I still think that bit with the TV remote is one of the best bits. That seems to me to give us a bit of reality. What I want to do is to think about Anne initially, right? As I was watching that, I was thinking that Anne is like so many people, and you think, oh, it's a bit like Anne. You know, sort of, she's a teaching assistant. So some people are teaching assistants, and then she's got children that she needs to ferry about. And so there's similarities with all of their lives. But let's just try and identify, because we're thinking about becoming, following more Jesus more closely in more areas of our lives. Let's think about areas of our lives. Okay. What areas can we identify of Anne's life? What are the specific ones?
Work.
Work. Big one.
Family.
Family.
Recreation.
Sorry, what was that one?
Recreation.
Yep. Again, please.
Friends.
Friends, yeah. Any others?
Church.
I'm glad that one didn't come up the top. It's really good.
Physical?
Yeah. Well, I think there is a physical one as well. Actually, I think that one could have been called the refrigerator. You know, you saw that, the refrigerator. It still amuses me, the fact that you've got the celery on one side, the cake on the other, and her hand goes unerringly for the cake. So, all those are areas, and of course recreation connects there. Connects. How about, I'm going to just use this word to think about thoughts, feelings and all that sort of stuff. I'm going to put the internal life as well. Okay? That's the area of life where we carry all these big bags that we don't need to, and the area where we think about stuff and worry about stuff, and the area perhaps where we spend time watching too much TV or reading books that are grossly unhelpful for us. I would also actually, for those of you who are married, I want to spring that out into separate areas of being a partner and children. So these are the areas that we're thinking about, and if you go through, if you can imagine what we are working at in all of our lives, and I'm sorry about this, guys, but this is the sort of way that I think. Here we've got a sort of scale where here's perfection and here's zero. You know, where our life is totally taken up in God. Yeah? And this is where we are. Now, if we handle this wrongly, we can end up with all sorts of guilt trips, can't we? But let's just think about where you would place yourself. I'm not going to ask you to do it out loud, because, as we know, everybody scales themselves differently. And some of you are sort of optimistic and would scale yourself high. And others of you, even if you're doing much better than I am, for instance, would scale yourselves lower than I would. So that's the way it is. But there is the possibility of a progression. You can see all sorts of places in the Bible where this is. So, for instance, in work, you may find that when you're under pressure, you're somebody who finds it easy to lie, which we all know is pretty bad. But hey, lying at work is the way the job gets done. You know? When a customer comes on the phone and says, is my job done yet? It's quite possible to say it's in the post when you've just about got a vague hope that tomorrow it could be in the post. Is that project up to where it should be? Yes, it is. I've talked to you about this on occasion. I can remember my dad used to work in a firm where they had, when they missed their target on a Friday afternoon, had a really bad habit of putting Monday morning's output onto the Friday afternoon total. Of course, there always comes a point later in the year when you've shifted a week's production back and you've got to find it from somewhere. So those sort of things, thinking about the simple things. It may well be that you could be in an environment where people would be surprised to find you're a Christian because of the negative stuff, the filthy stuff that comes out of your mouth. On the other hand, there you could be in the position, because there was a bit more to Chiquita's story. I think the person who came up to you said, Chiquita, you're a Christian, aren't you?
No,
and then it wasn't
no,
that.
But it's also quite surprised. She must have spoken to someone.
Yeah. So she. So in fact, there was something about her. It was probably this sort of silly born again grin or something that we're all supposed to have. But there was something. Now you can play that through in family life, right? What happens when your kids are behaving strangely? When they're behaving bad, oh, they're always good. You just give them breakfast and get on. Yeah, I know. But you know, without having God in your life, without following Jesus, the thought of actually having teenagers just would completely freak me out. I can remember times when we went to God and we've said to God, show us what's wrong. And I can remember times with our lads when God showed me stuff I never told them about. They just didn't understand why I asked the question that I asked, right? That I have never even talked to Wendy about. Things that were dramatic and distinct. Times when our children were upset or finding life difficult, when God stepped in by speaking to us. Okay? So you can go all the way through each of these things. And possibly the least important one, the easiest one, is the church one. Okay? And during the autumn, however the course does it, and I can't quite remember how Frontline does it, I want to be looking at some of these areas. And I hope you'll get the feeling we're saying the same thing over and over again about different areas of life. Because I think it actually is possible to really be trusting God in your work life, but have a completely appalling record in your family life, and vice versa. These things go on and they change. How? I don't know. But here's what I'd like you to do for a minute. Talk to one another about what the benefits are of following Jesus more closely in more areas of our life. We talk about the cross, don't we? Yeah? And about needing to take up the cross. And quite rightly, we've been pushing the negative a bit. But what do you think the benefits would be of following Jesus? What do you think the benefits are of the way you follow Jesus now? What do you think the benefits would be of following him more closely? Yeah? Have a talk for a little bit, and we'll write some of the things up. Okay, let's get some benefits on here, and we'll roll this forward. Okay? Right, what are the benefits? Shout them out one at a time. We'll do a page full. Okay? Somebody?
Peace of mind.
Sense of reality.
Yep.
Knowing you are not alone.
I'm going to put not alone, because if I write down every word that people say, these things get longer and longer. But knowing you're not alone, yeah.
There's somebody, when I've got myself into a panic, there's like a backstop.
Okay. Panic, backstop. Okay, so moving along the scale would be, in terms of internal life, would be moving from having a panic backstop to having a panic front stop. Yeah? Okay, what else we got? Just a few more.
Judging myself by heaven's standards, not...
Yeah. Different standards. Purpose, yeah.
Better relationships.
Better relationships. Okay, we'll draw a line under this, simply because I haven't got that many more pages. And you'll have realised, guys, a slight improvement in my writing is down to the fact that I've got lined paper today, which makes all the difference. It's quite difficult to get those pads. By the way, the reason we've got a new flip chart board is that in desperation, Ian smashed the other one because it was next impossible to put up. Okay, so... Here are anybody who's had to put the other one up will know that that's been a real blessing. Now, here we are. Here's the thing that here's some things for people like us. Just yesterday, I'm just finishing off a year's work, because I have to go up to Cliff College in a couple of weeks' time. I've got to turn stuff in by first thing tomorrow morning. And so I was just watching a set of DVDs through that I needed to watch with as much on the fast button as I could. And there were several points at which God stirred me, touched my heart, and Wendy came into the living room with Carol, and they were sitting over the other side. And of course, when they're in the room and talking while I'm watching telly, I just have to keep on pushing the volume up, and their volume goes louder and louder and louder. It's real competition. But I noticed, not only was I feeling the touch of God on me as I was watching these DVDs, but Carol was stopping and watching as well. You know, where's that and what's happening? And I just wanted to show you one, which actually comes from St. Thomas's in Sheffield. And you'll notice this guy is placed in a sort of industrial estate, and this industrial estate has been taken over pretty much by the church. So as well as having the church in town, they've got all sorts of warehouses and workshops and sheds and all sorts of things, which mean that several hundred square metres has become the church. And in fact, the bishop has pronounced it an extra parochial place, which means if you park, you could be done by the church wardens, which is pretty much something. But here's one of the things that they're doing. And there was something about this that really stirred me and reminded me about things I've seen in the past. And I know that lots of the people that Heidi spends time with will have had the same sort of issues as the guys in this story, and she'll probably feel quite an empathy with them in terms of her week-to-week experience. But anyway, just let's have a look.
Many years ago, actually, we started to encounter many people who, in many ways, didn't really fit into the model or into the style of church that we were offering people. People struggling with life-controlling habits, people who were marginalised for a variety of reasons, and people who really felt uncomfortable in a lot of settings. So we were really passionate about creating something that really brought God into their life and brought a weekly encounter, really, of worship and of fellowship into their own setting.
Guy was probably one of the most hardened drinkers and addicts that I've ever met, and it was just deep rooted in his heart, and now God's touched him. So I'm giving testimony for him this morning, and I'm giving thanks for him.
Certainly our experience has often been that some of the settings of our churches that we may provide can often be quite professional. They can come across quite intimidating to some people, and people particularly on the margins of society, people who for whatever reason who may feel uncomfortable being around people who they may associate with in middle class. We wanted to create an environment where guys have felt welcome, loved, accepted for who they are, and knowing that there's a God who loves them and who's passionate about them.
Well, I used to be a violent man. You can't change yourself, only God can do it. He's given me love for other people that I wouldn't have had love for before.
I was homeless, on the street, selling big issue, heroin addict, everything. Until I came here and I found the way in God, and God found the way in me.
Street life, but like, it's like, it's down to earth. Like, homeless people and like people who are like less fortunate than myself, like, and like I can put my help out, or they can help me, I can help them in different ways.
In setting up Streetwise, in sort of our other ministries reaching out to the marginalised, we really genuinely believe that if it's going to be effective, if it's going to really make a difference in guys' lives, it needs to be aimed at what they want and where they're coming from. We really want to be a welcoming, inclusive community where people feel like their views, you know, can be taken into account. And we really, really believe that Jesus is good news, and Jesus comes to heal the brokenhearted. We also recognise that within all of our lives, we're holistic people, in that God has made us with a variety of needs and a variety of areas that we need to keep healthy and keep in balance. So we've recently started an allotment. We'd encourage guys to go on walks or to go on weekends away with us. We'd also provide time for people to emotionally offload, emotionally unload really what's going on in their lives at the moment. So we do have capacity and time in the week where we'd encourage the guys to come and just share what's happening, both the highs and the lows, and to have a listening ear for that. We really try and really celebrate when people have successes in their lives. It's really important, and that can sometimes be a certificate when they've completed a course. It can be a party, you know, we throw a party if that's appropriate, if it feels that's going to really show someone that they've made a real significant step in their life. So we do try and avoid language that may feel like it's educational or whether it's institutional, and really invite people into something that is about the kingdom, something that is about God taking people where they are.
There are 28 of those stories on that particular DVD. If you want to borrow it, then as long as I know where it's gone, you're welcome to do so. Not all of them are as good as that, but there are several which have got as much punch. Now, there's just one little sentence I want to pull out of that. Only Jesus can change somebody. You see, the problem with discipleship is that it can become something that we do ourselves, right? And many of us have had the experience of trying our hardest to follow Jesus, and it has been no more successful than making a New Year resolution, right? We've tried as much as we can. And almost anything in the Bible that you emphasize and you concentrate on, you can overemphasize. Yeah? There's always a balance. It's a book which is 1,300 plus pages long in most standard editions, and there's an awful lot of stuff there to take into account. And wherever we are in the scripture, you can almost always say, yes, and there's another side to it. And here's the other side I want to talk about, because I think that this is something that God is stirring us about, as well as the need for whole life discipleship, is where this discipleship is going to come from. And I haven't preached on this for years and years, and I just want to put it into your mind, and we will come back and revisit this. This was written to a load of legalistic people. Now, part of the reason why we don't think why we don't preach from this book very often is because we're not in a particularly legalistic culture. If you like, our culture is much more like Corinthians than it is like Galatians. We're much more likely to just do what we feel like, do anything that occurs to us, than we are to get involved in a set of rules. But this is what Paul said. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Right, so it's a bit of a different picture to taking up your cross daily. Here's a picture of being crucified once and for all. And of course, that's part of the picture of baptism, which we're going to be doing next week. Going to be doing baptisms next week. And part of that picture is being crucified and dying. So, Paul says, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, right, inside this body, the life that's going on, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then Paul talks about grace. That's Galatians 2:20, just one verse that is one of those verses which, where I was brought up, and I know when Joe was brought up, it would have been one of the first verses with the navigators you would learn. One of the first verses that if you did a Billy Graham course after somebody had made a decision, they would learn. It was absolutely key to understanding the dynamic that came from God rather than from us. If it's trying, we might as well give up now. Because I don't know about you, but I'm no good at trying. When when I was about 18 or 19, sometimes when Wendy and I lived about 5 miles, I think, away from one another, and I would go to her house, see her home, and would hang about until it was time for the last bus to go. The last bus went at 20 to midnight. It was the 62 down to Martin's Corner. Martin's Corner got on the 145, 148, and got home. Right? In those days, they were RTs and RMs, ones with no doors at the back, and if you ran fast enough, you could get on a moving bus. In fact, it wasn't until we had children and I nearly slipped off one day when it was wet. I wasn't carrying a child. I thought, I can't do this anymore. This is just too plain dangerous. I would run down the alleyway, down the street, all the way through. It's a wonder I never got stopped by the coppers, thinking that I'd been up to something. I would go around the corner, and most times I would just about catch the bus, right? But sometimes it would be pulling away, yeah? And try as hard as I might, I couldn't grab that side, swing myself, grab that side and jump, which would get you on the bus, and the conductor would be there shaking his head. But you see, if I missed the bus, all I had to do was to be a disciple of the bus. I had to follow the bus. Yeah? Simple. The only thing was, that bus had got a whacking great engine. I'd only got my two legs, and I was supposed to be in at 11:30. Right? Those being the days when people used to tell their children what time they had to get in. And this is sometimes the way I feel when somebody talks to me about following Jesus. That there's Jesus with all the power of the Godhead built into him, and he's cruising along powerfully, and there's me on my own two legs. And I haven't got a chance on earth of keeping up with him. And you know, as Ellie goes back to college this year, goes back to university, her chances of living the life that she wants to are probably fairly good on the basis of personal effort. But there are going to be a load of slips and a load of problems along the way. Now, those problems, because we live life in the body, don't hit zero. But the whole dynamic changes if the life that she's living by faith in the Son of God rather than faith in herself. Because however disciplined she is, however tough she is, however resilient she is, however able she is to ignore the pressure of people around her, even if she lived a perfect life, it would not be perfect because it would be coming from outside rather than inside. And the only way we can please God is through faith in the Son of God. Okay? So, your work this week, you can do a lot by trying your hardest. You can only do it God's way through his life. And one of the strange things is that it actually involves, right at the basics, stopping trying. Lord, I'm not going to try anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. I know that I cannot keep up good exercise habits. I know that I cannot keep control over my tongue. I know that I can't stop wishing my life was different on my own. I'm going to live by faith in you. And if I find myself coming off track, I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm going to say, Lord, I want your life to be in me. This, of course, is part of what Dave was talking about last week when he was talking about the fullness of Spirit, Holy Spirit coming on us. And it says in the Bible, you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. Holy Spirit comes on you. Sorry, I can only ever quote this from the Authorized Version of the Bible. And you will be witnesses. You will give evidence of me. So we need power to give evidence. What is the evidence of Jesus? It's the life of God coming out of us. And the way you're going to live your life is by cheating. Okay? The way we live our life as disciples is for somebody else to live our life disguised as us. Yeah? The life I live in the body, I live because Jesus is inside me. So that's how we resolve our panic. That's how we resolve our bad habits. That's the path we're on. That is why it's so important from time to bang on about knowing the presence of God with us and being aware of him being close to us. Because that's it. It is no longer I that lives, no longer me that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Some of you might say, thanks, that's really useful. I needed that. It's brought all sorts of stuff back to mind that I know. Some of you might be saying, I don't have that dynamic. I can remember it was promised when I got baptised and when I got prayed for. But I need to experience some real change. Don't go away until you've got prayed for. We're actually going to be running as far as we can. We said this earlier this year. The opportunity to pray at the end of a Sunday morning as well as during the time. So if you'd like to receive prayer so that you really do know that the life that you're living is the life of God, then come to the front. Because otherwise, all I can do when I'm teaching on a Sunday morning is to produce one shed load of guilt for everybody. Because the higher we set the standards, the worse we feel. And we can't possibly work on the basis of guilt reduction. That's not the business we're in. We're in the business of finding the life of God within us. So when you're dealing with your kids at home, the life of God is what they need. When you're dealing with difficult workmates, the life of God. When you're trying to find the front stop, back stop or middle stop for panic, it's the life of God. Okay, quick prayer for everybody. We'll finish. And then if you'd like some prayer, come to the front. Andy, Phil, Carol, still be here. And we'll pray with you. Actually, going to ask Andrew and Ruth as well if they'd help with this, because you may still actually be running the agenda from the first half meeting and not been listening to this at all, which is fine, absolutely fine. As some of you actually may be stuck in the middle and you feel if you're involved in Messy Church this afternoon, you want some more prayer. Well, unless you're Andy and Phil, who've got other things to do, you can get some more prayer for that as well. So, let's pray. Well, Father, I've done my best. I want to give it back to you and say, Father, I pray that you will sharpen up the things that people need to know. Lord, bring stuff to our attention during the week so that we go to the throne of grace to get help when we need it. Father, for those of us who need to be filled again, we pray, come by your Holy Spirit and help us. Amen.